טוב, we remember the British Shalom. We're learning about the seeing, right? Seeing, sight.
Guarding your eyes.
לאחר שראייה מושכת במחשבתו של האדם, since sight, a person sees, it draws a person's thoughts and his heart. Therefore, even without seeing things which he's not allowed to see, he cannot be cleaved to Hashem without guarding the eyes. Without closing the eyes. תכף כשהוא רואה דבר מה, הוא מתחיל לחשוב דבר כזה. Immediately when he sees something, he starts thinking about that thing that he sees. ומשם מחשבתו מתגלגלת, and from there the thoughts go on and on, and for sure he forgets of Hashem. כל שכן, a lot of times, his thoughts go to unwanted places, bad places, and forbidden places. For example, a person sees a certain item, of course he has to think about it, and then he thinks his will comes in. Oh, I also want such a thing. Or what will happen if I have such a thing? Right? And then he thinks about, wait, who owns this? This is an example he's saying. Who owns this? That guy owns it, right? Yeah, what about him? That guy, yeah, I remember him. He's this. The mind goes. Okay? The mind works out and goes and works. It goes on and on. That was? Sure. Or if you see a person, you rather immediately you think about the person, how does he act, what does he do, da da da. You could easily come to think about hatred, or about jealousy, or about all kinds of things that person had in his head. Okay, and all the bad things that person had in his head, lashon hara, or whatever. And a lot of times afterwards they'll come out in speech. Oh, you know, I know, I saw that guy today. You know that guy, he's like this, like that. Like, I'm not saying that it has to be to everyone every time that he opens his eyes, but there's a good chance that the police, a lot of times things go in directions where a person does not want them to go. למעשה המציאות היא שהעיניים משפיעות מיד על המוח והלב. Practically, reality is that the eyes, they influence immediately the brain and the heart and the will of a person. Therefore, Chazal taught us that the eye sees, the heart covets. From coveting, a person could reach to a lot of averos, mamash, and a lot of avails we have to only with the heart. Okay? Because a person, externally, he could be the biggest tzaddik in the world, he could have a shaymo to the ceiling and a beard to the floor, with huge payas, and thick goggle glasses, like the Rebbe's have, and wear a nice bekacha and everything, and inside is rakuv. It's all spoiled.
Or worse.
Okay, Masha could be like that. Okay? The Yiras Shamayim of a person is in his thoughts and what he sees is in his head. No one will tell you this. We have to judge ourselves. מכיוון שהאדם וכל עולמו הפנימי מעוצב עד ראיית העין, since a man in his whole internal world is מעוצב, is set up according to what a person sees in life, מילא. So you see that a person's choice begins in his eyes. Because if you see something, you're already there. Like the Baal Shem Tov says that even if you think of something, you're already there. So if you see, of course you're already there.
You're already there, you said.
Wherever you think. If you're thinking of home now, you're right now at home. It's not where your body is, where you are. Where you see, that's where you are.
Where your mind is,
exactly. So a person could be in yeshiva all day, and really he's in a bar somewhere. A person could be in a bar, and really he's in yeshiva. He doesn't want to be where he is. He wants to be in the yeshiva. So that's where he is. And Hashem will bring him there, because he has the power. A person will get it. He wants to be there, in a good place. Okay? Only when your eyes are closed, then you're free to choose where you want to go. When your eyes are open, you're not free anymore. You don't choose anymore. You're wherever you see, that's where you are. That's what happened with Shimshon HaGibor. He went after his eyes. The heart is mostly influenced by the eyes.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't stray after your heart, not your eyes. Yimcha lo chafatz ba'aretz. Kasher adam olech be'inayim atzumot. Now let's see the other hand. When a person goes with closed eyes, shut eyes, he can reach a place that he thinks only of Hashem, only the Torah, only to see that he's a nothing and everything is Hashem, only prayer, only desires, only he wants Hashem, only he misses Hashem, he's yearning to Hashem. Of course, he still has a free choice if he thinks about himself or thinking about Hashem, right? But when the eyes are open, he sees things that have lust in them. He has no choice if to want or not. He wants, because all the lust begins in the eyes. A person sees food, he wants to eat. Also, if he smells food, it's a physical thing. You smell it; it makes you taste, but it's work. Actually, there was a khalif upstairs. I smelt it. I felt it. I felt stuff moving in my mouth. It was very sharp. Very sharp food. Okay. There's the many other kisufim. So the master, he sees the food, he smells the food, he sees the food, he wants the food, and then he sits and he does, right? He eats. And also regarding money. And all the lusts are in the eyes. Like it says, ta'avaula enayim. It's a lust to the eye, like it says by the chava in the tree of knowledge and
good and evil.
Good and evil, okay. It's a dot. לכן בראש ובראשונה צריכה להיות לעבודת האדם שתהיה לו שליטה על העיניים. First work a person should have is that he will have control over his eyes, and then he could cleave in his thoughts to Hashem. Therefore the tzaddikim did not see in front of their eyes, they only saw holy letters. They did not want to see this world at all. A person needs to put in his heart that all of a person's choice in the world begins in the eyes. And he needs to pray.
You know, it's interesting that he's saying that. As every Israeli that I know in America came to America to buy a house, to make money, to do. There's like, what Rabbi Rush is saying, you know, it's so true. No one seeks out anything spiritual.
Yeah.
In fact, some of the guys I've met came from here.
To Chuchachazin?
Yeah. And they showed me pictures of what they look like in the yeshiva.
And they dropped it off?
I couldn't believe it.
Oh my gosh.
So that's really very interesting that I'm the same as those guys. I'm not anything different because I wanted a house and I wanted to make money and all that stuff. But I reversed it. I ended up here.
So, you're also gonna appear with Allah.
What?
Father Shem, they also end up here.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
I just think it's very interesting that it doesn't matter where you come from, that those things, you know, the concept of lust is such an important part of our lives that
right. We
don't even realize it. I didn't realize it. It just would never have entered my mind. Now, you're raising children. Do you think that your children will have lust?
Of course, but they're gonna. Hopefully, they're gonna have the tools to deal with them. A person could also encourage his lust more, to help them. Oh, yeah, lust more, and to want more. A person could work on it from the beginning. If you have tefillah, that's the tool. If you have prayers, that's the tool. One time I was on the bus with my wife. And I was sitting like this, closing my eyes. And my wife tells me, it's an interesting scene. There was four yeshiva, chassidish yeshiva bachim, young boys, 15, 16 year old. Two were sitting like this, guarding their eyes, and two were looking around. They're working, and they're hopefully going to work. Yeah. It's work. I don't say it's life is not a picnic. We came here to work. If you have the schut, the Gemara says, if you have the schut, you came here to toil, it says. If you have the schut, we toil for Hashem. If not, so we toil and we slave away in this world, which is much more difficult. And you gain a lot less. You don't get any. Think about it. A person goes through his whole life. So let's say he had a nice car, a nice house, and money, and everything, very... what does he take to him to Shemayim? Garnished. Nothing. Only Torah mitzvah, the Mishnah says. Rabbi Yossi Mekisma is buried in Meron. It says the Mishnah there, they wrote it on a big stone. It says there that Rabbi Yossi Mekisma was walking on the way, and then a guy met him and told him, Rabbi, I want you to come live in, maybe you want to come live in our town, we're going to give you gold and silver and good pearls and everything. So I told him, so Rabbi Yossi Mekisma said, I answered him, my son, I don't want to live where you are. I want to live only in the place of Torah. Because the time that person dies, not money accompanies him, and not silver, not his house, not his fields, nothing. Only Torah ma'asim tovim.
Pirkei Avot.
Pirkei Avot.
The more worms, I'm sorry, the more food, the more worms. The more wives, the more witchcraft.
Okay, exactly. So on, there's a whole list. Yeah, therefore, he lives in a place of Torah because that's what he takes. And think about it. Every day you come to yeshiva, every word you learn, it's forever and ever. It's forever and ever. It's yours. It's your Torah now. And in the next world, we're all going to see it. We're all going to see it clearly. Our body leaves, we go to Shamayim, they're going to show us. Here, look, you sat 100 hours this year in the Chutz Chesed. Right? 200 hours you sat. Look what Olam Haba had. Huge. And they're going to show you all the years that you threw in the garbage. And you're going to say, Chaval, I didn't know. Didn't know any better. So at least every second we can use it for good, whatever we can do. And start in the beginning. Every moment starts. It's hard for us right now. I'll start again. I'm going to start again. I'm going to do it anyway. And in the end, I'm going to struggle. I'm going to do another good thing, another good deed. Another word to our Hashem, another Ribbono Shelolam, another pasuk, another something. The thought of Hashem, like we said yesterday. Personally, we cleave to Hashem every moment. We want to be only with Hashem. Only with Hashem. Okay, mamash. That's life. Amen. That's life. You get life from life. That's time to go through. I'm telling you, I see the difference between my family and all kinds of relatives that I have. They live in hell. I live in paradise, they live in hell. And they have more money than me, some of them. They have a house, they have a car, they have a this. They're in hell. I see it's clearly. They're not happy in life at all. Even if they tell you there, you can see that an erech. There's no worth of life. Only spiritual life is life. Everything else is shtuyot. Fine, we're in the physical world. We have to do things. We have to eat, you have to drink, you have to sleep. There's the parnasa b'sedah, but that's not life. That's just a way to life. Life is to say another Torah, another chesed in the world, another tefillah in the world. Teach someone Torah. That's life. That's beautiful life. You have a goal like that in life. Your marriage is better. Your children are better. Everything is better.
But on the other hand, you haven't mentioned the problem with Shalom Bayit, the problem with your kids being on drugs, the problem
with
being in debt to your whatever, and the depression, trying to keep up with the Joneses, and
the kids to them. It all depends on the eyes. A person's will depends on his eyes. And even if he goes now, I'll tell you more than that. A person goes, fine, and he went to the street and he saw what he didn't really see. And then when he comes home and he says, I don't want that. Say, I don't want that. Why? Rabbi Nachman writes in the Kutar Achot that there's a law, we learn in the Gemara, there's a law that if someone is dwelling in a land for 3 years and no one said a word, no one could come up after 3 years and say, oh, it's mine. Who are you? He's sitting here for 3 years. It's called a chazak, that's it. But if someone within 3 years, even anywhere in the world, he took two people, and he said, the land over there is mine. The guy is sitting there is a ganav. Then he has a word. He did mecha, it's called mecha. He's protesting. So also a person, even if the averas, protest against them. Men, they don't dwell in you. I don't want that avera. I'm doing it, I have lust. So fine, I'm crazy. I don't want it. I don't want it. I want Hashem. Say it. Protest against the lust that you have. And it helps that it doesn't stay in you.
Don't ignore it.
Alright?
Don't ignore it.
It was like you're speaking, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, I think it was. Don't speak the negative, speak the positive. Don't say, I don't want to do this. Say,
right.
I want you.
100%. Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah. Because that's how my head's working right now. Right. Yeah. Okay, the kids so. So either the eyes are shut and you see in front of your eyes holy letters, or he sees things that are connecting him to the purpose of life. He sees the sky, he sees the earth, he sees beautiful plants or whatever. Right? Okay? Then he can be cleaving to Hashem. Now it's understood why Avraham Avinu would not even look at his wife his whole life. Because he did not want to put in his heart any form except desires, will and desire to Hashem. Therefore he merited to love Hashem in the highest level. Till Hashem himself said, Avraham Avi, Avraham the one who loves me. Because every time Avraham Avinu lifted up his eyes, he's a pasuk on it. The very few times. His heart was always cleaved to Hashem, always full of Hashem. He didn't merit what he merits now. Right? Complete nullification to Hashem. Until when Hashem told him to slaughter his son, he was willing to do it. And all the big tzaddikim, they reach their levels, the high levels that they reach, only the power of guarding the eyes. That was B'riti Shalom, a little bit we read. And we can do it for a few.
I think each of us has that role, whether we know it or not.
Right. Mm-hmm. To be willing to play it.
There was even a few years ago, a CP child, OCP, cerebral palsy, who knew that she was a Gilgul of a Jewish woman who pretended to be a non-Jew during the Holocaust in order to escape and not be part of her people. And that's why she came back as a CP child. Passed away about a year and a half ago.
Wow.